All right, episode 68. We're back, Rob.
We are back.
All right, thought for today we would chat about something that it's kind of weird to talk about maybe, but is the lifeblood of every creative firm, agency, studio, freelancer, hell, even non-agency related, but
right.
the idea of new business, right? Where is it?
Where is this new business, this elusive new business?
I know. Do we look for it under rocks?
Where do we find it?
Yeah. Is it out in the fields? I mean, does it drink from the lake at midnight
right.
on a Tuesday? You
right.
know? How do we do the new business rain dance? Where does it come from? How do we get clients? What's our kind of history? But also, like, maybe there's some lessons learned for non-agency people out there, right? About the acquisition of new customers,
yep.
right? Where do they come from?
Yep. They come from a lot of different places, Don. But I think when you think about, people, I think both in the industry and outside of our industry, people think of advertising and they think of the idea of pitching.
Yeah, exactly.
Pitching for business.
Yeah. And we had mentioned that show previously. You know, we have the Don Drapers of the yep. world, but then you have that other AMC show, but like the theatrical.
The pitch and the whole.
Pitch. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we've made mention of it, and, you know, people pitch business, companies pitch business for different reasons, right?
Yeah.
And some are very pro-pitch, some are anti-pitch,
yeah.
some are...
Yeah.
And we've certainly pitched along the way and had success doing that as well. For us, you know, generally speaking, the concept of pitching, I feel like, has evolved a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Meaning it used to be, that's the way ad agencies got business.
Correct.
Everybody pitched.
Absolutely.
And sometimes in a pitch, you'll get a pitch fee, but... Most of the time, you will not get a pitch fee.
Correct.
Which means you've got to throw everything you have at it for a couple of weeks or a month or however long they give you.
Yeah. The consultant who runs the pitch generally gobbles up all
the fees. They're the ones who make the money.
Yeah, exactly. So, which makes sense. Hey, I'm a giant corporation. It's no different than hiring Korn Ferry to run a search for executive level talent or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? You'd have a fee to, you know, find the agencies or the studios or whatever that would service this account properly, and then, hey, call that list and thin it out, you know?
Yep.
So.
And I think that, you know, again, it used to be pretty commonplace. Now, I think the attitude over the past decade or even longer has sort of evolved to this idea of, like, wait a minute. We're doing all this work for, dare I say, for free,
yeah.
right? It's an investment, sure. You can look at it that way.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not the best way to go about getting new business. Maybe there's a better way to do it. And again, I think it depends, right? If you get the blanket RFP in the mail that you know is going out to 10 different agencies and it's 80 pages long and they want to know everyone's personal history and all this stuff.
Blood type, everything.
Yeah, it just feels invasive and unnecessary.
Sure.
But I also understand that large companies sometimes need that security.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. There's a perception of risk if you don't know who you know, which ties into maybe our next thought, which is trust.
Right.
I mean, you know, at a certain extent, you know, the relationships are formed based on trust. I mean, I know I've said in the past, like, hey, are our logos better than other firms' logos, or are our ads better than, you know. Yes, I could argue why they are,
right?
But
right.
to a certain extent, a lot of our clients work with us because there is a trust there that, hey, Don and Rob are going to do, and team and everybody, you know, they're going to do a great job. They're going to do it on time. They're going to do it on budget. And there is a trust-based business, right?
Yep.
Which leads to referrals, which I know is something that we've talked about in the past, you know, and sort of another avenue for new business, right?
I think on
referrals.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to talk.
No,
I didn't
no,
mean to
you're,
shift
you're
from pitching.
No, but I think about, I mean, I think trust, right? And so that brings up a good point, which is, you know, when you go into a traditional pitch scenario, you have two, maybe three meetings or presentations, right? Getting to know you meetings, but that's kind of it. And then you get the account and then you're married.
Yeah, you're married for at least a year.
Yeah, it's like a crazy night in Vegas and you went to the wedding chapel and got married and you're waking up and you're like, oh, I guess we're married now. I hope this works out.
Exactly.
We do it a little bit differently, meaning...
Well, and a lot of those, I'm interrupting, a lot of those things don't work out specifically because of that reason.
Absolutely.
Right, and... You know, it's not that I mentioned Don Draper. It's not the Don Draper days anymore where everyone stays put for 10 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where like, oh, your account team is the same account team. Your creative team is the same account. The client is the same client. No, I mean, it's musical chairs out there for everybody. Everybody's shifting around, right? So it is harder to form that solidified bond, you know, for a prolonged period of time if you just do a couple dates and then get married.
And you also have to, like, it's one thing to write down a company culture on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really tell you what the company culture is like. Totally. You have to live with the people and work with the people.
You got to experience it.
You got to sort of experience it to find out if it's a good fit or not. And we always say to clients, however they come through the door, hey, let's start with something small.
Yeah.
Like, let's not, you know, this idea of signing the piece of paper and becoming AOR overnight is a bit of a risky endeavor, I think.
Forever.
So we always say, hey, let's start with one project and let's make sure that it works for all parties involved.
Totally.
Because we got to be happy, they got to be happy, everybody's got to be happy.
For sure, for sure.
So that's sort of what we do. And I think that, moving to referrals, it seems like an obvious one, but mining the network. And you know, we're fortunate enough to have clients that stay with us for a long time.
Yeah.
Which is great. And I think says a lot about us.
Yeah, we're awesome.
We're awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
And then what happens, of course, is they then refer others in the business, or they go elsewhere. They go to other companies and branch off. And it's just sort of the way that the...
That might be the best case scenario.
I think that is the best case scenario.
Yeah.
You meet somebody, get in with them, and then meet a lot of other people, and then people start to splinter off and go other places and then bring us in there. So referrals have been really good for us. This sort of this idea of organic growth, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think that is what, you know, Google reviews, Yelp reviews, all that type of stuff. I think that has, you know, our personal network, right? And that referral system that we've had over the last 20, 25 years and whatnot, right? Has been great for us.
Yep.
But the democratization of that, maybe to even strangers, is what's really interesting about reviews, right? Now, I don't know how we feel about, I don't know how you feel about reviews. I mean, it's, for the most part, sometimes I feel like people just go to the internet to complain, right? I mean, if you went to Rate My Professor or all these glass doors and things like that, people that are happy never go to those places and write these glowing essays of all these things. It's always kind of negative reviews and bad things happening, right? But I think that, you know, for those that are, hey, I need to find a plumber, I need to do with this, I need to do, you know, there is, you know, it's interesting how search and utilizing what we're talking about, trust, in terms of Google reviews, is kind of a new way of how clients acquire business or how you go through. I mean, even Amazon and, you know what I mean? Oh, product reviews.
Yeah.
You know, from strangers and things like that, right? It's an interesting democratization of what an extended network would be of all these strangers, yet, they've got 5,000 five-star reviews. I guess that's got to be good. That type of thing, right?
Yeah.
It's weird to think about that way.
But it's true. I mean, and it's a lot different if you're reviewing not a lot different, but if you're, you know, reviewing a product versus a
toaster.
Service, you know, like a toaster. Like I go to Amazon and I say, this mug has been, you know, purchased 44,000 times.
Yeah, exactly.
It has
exactly.
a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because it's not easy to game that system if you wanted to try and game that system. So I do think that, and going back even further, just the idea of networking in and of itself and referrals. You know, thank goodness for the internet.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
I mean, before that, it was you're just picking up the phone and calling people and doing it that. So certainly LinkedIn and all the other tools out there.
Cold calling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, again, I feel like I keep interrupting here, but like, it's still a thing. I get cold calls all the time. I know you do too in the office from people wanting to sell their software, their service or things like that, you know? That's not really my jam, just to be totally honest. You know,
that takes a special kind of person to be able to do that.
We worked with a guy though who was a cold call master for years and years and years, Leo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like very, very successful at that.
Yep.
You know, that's an interesting avenue. I don't know. Is cold calling, is it still a thing? I guess it is.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. I'm sure it is. But yeah, that's not really our jam.
Yeah.
But I think also too, you've got the network, but then you've also got this idea of sort of, you know, non-organic new business development, right? And the things that you can do and the tool sets that are out there now, SEO, right?
Yeah.
Search. I mean, if we think about the internet, that's where you go first to find things.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole, you know, complex industry around SEO and how do I get to the top of the page?
Yeah.
And it is a constant battle to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. It's interesting when we talk to clients about SEO or when we do their site for them and talk about ongoing, you know, the pushing the boulder up the hill repeatedly, right?
Yep.
Is, you know, Google keeps changing the game on the way it all works.
Like every day.
Yeah, constantly, right? And I feel like this is another podcast, but like there's a great sort of stair-stepped approach of how it's evolved. And Google 1.0, right, was, hey, I need pizza. So you Google pizza, right? And it's, oh, there's Pizza Huts everywhere, right? Then we went localized where it's, oh, Pizza Atlanta, right? Then everybody got smarter. We don't have to, you know, now I know my search here versus the search in Montana is different because of our ISPs and our geolocation and things like that, right? But it always used to be, hey, I go to the internet and I ask a question, and various search engines, Ask Jeeves, Google, Bing, whatever, right, give the answer that they think is the most relevant, right?
Right.
Now we're in this really interesting era, you know, and they send you on your way, right? You ask a question, yep. They give you a bunch of answers and a bunch of links, and you click on them and you go elsewhere, right? And you go to other people's websites and things like that, right? Now we're in this really interesting era where I feel like Google is really more of a content thief than they are a link provider, right? Because now you go to, hey, I've got a red spot on my elbow, or whatever. You ask Google these crazy questions, right? And they've got the little people also ask, right?
Right.
And they're basically taking all your content off the site, throwing it onto their site, right? And you sometimes you never even go to people's sites anymore. Yep. You know what I mean? It's like they're just taking the content and keeping it for themselves, which I find really, really interesting. So I just kind of went off on a total tangent here, but it is interesting that search, you know, 3 years ago is totally different
totally
than what it
different.
Is now.
Totally
and
different.
To your point, 6 months ago, it's different than what it is
now.
Well,
it used to be, you know, years ago, it used to be you built a website and then you just said, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
And then you let it, you know, then 4 years later you went, you know what, maybe we should work on the site or refresh the site.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it moved to, oh, no. Okay. You've got to build the site and it's a living, breathing organism.
Yeah.
We realize that now and we have to keep tinkering it with it and evolving it.
Well, you want to be re-indexed every couple of weeks in terms of what Google gives you, you know, domain authority and ranking on like, oh yeah, these guys are actually working on their little website over here. That's, you know, it's good and you're providing valuable content. So.
Yeah, it behooves Google to serve up the appropriate content for you.
Yeah.
Right? For them to go serve you the best answer.
Sure.
And send you to the right place, which is their site.
Yeah.
Back to their site.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's fun to also explain potentially to clients, like, we don't own Google. Like, there's only so much we can do. And then we're kind of at the mercy of how often they update things, how often they index things.
Right.
You know, we got to play by their rules. So
how do I get to the top of the page?
Yeah. A lot of money.
A lot of money and a lot of work.
Yeah. It used to be just invisible keywords everywhere.
Yeah. We're just going to, we're going to hide pages.
Yeah.
We're hidden just content pages everywhere.
Yeah. Shocker. Newsflash. Now you have to pay for everything. So.
You're right.
All right, so we got referrals. We're talking new business. I feel like I sent us on a rabbit trail.
All right. But,
we got new business. We got referrals. We've got sort of that trusted network, right?
Mm-hmm.
What else did we talk about? We talked a little bit about cold calling, not so much. Talked about search, right? What else? Other thoughts? I've got a funny cold calling story I guess I could share about something that we've done. So we worked with a great packaged foods provider, right? And we did a whole brand for them and everything, and they ended up selling that brand off, right? Sad day. Oh, my God.
What?
You guys are selling? Like, no. We did all this stuff. It's in grocery stores. This is awesome. Like, we love all this stuff. Hey, who did you sell that to? Like, why did they buy that? Hey, let's just chitty chat, you know? Oh, here's a, okay. You know, to your point about the internet. Oh, here's the national sales director.
Oh, I found their phone number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go.
You know, that kind of thing. Drop a note. Hey, maybe this is kind of a cold call in a weird internet email kind of version. Hey, national sales guy, we're the folks that did all that stuff. And it's come to my attention that you recently purchased this from so-and-so. And, you know, it helps to know people. I mean, obviously name drop and things like that, right? That email somehow bounced its way around to the new acquirer, you know, and then ended up setting up a call with, I mean, I had to bird dog this thing for a while, you know, this was a couple months, right? And then, hey, let's hop in the car, run up, do a presentation. You know, coincidentally, actually, it worked out great that they are here in the state of Georgia, right? So went, did an introduction, like, this is amazing. And now, boom, new client based on that, right? Even though it's a new client, but it's all the work that we had already done for multiple years on the stuff. And they're now doing new things with it and new exciting stuff. And it's been really, really fun to sort of breathe new life into something that we've been nurturing for a couple years. And have all that intellectual know-how, right? About why the decisions were made the way they were. And then, hey, what is your vision? What's your vision of the brand? what are you guys going to do with it? And how do we then start to steer the ship that way, right? So, right. You know, and talk about, hey, we want to make changes, but you don't want shopper confusion because it is a packaged goods product, right? So, you know, how much do we change? How much do we keep this, you know, that type of thing, right? And coincidentally, I actually just sent off the mechanical files today for one of the new products, you know, so that should be hitting stores in a, I don't know, 6-8 weeks, something like that, hopefully, you know. So, you know, I mean, crazy things like that happen out there too.
And that makes me think of two points, right? One is, and maybe these are tips. One is the idea of being persistent, right? And making sure that you remember to call.
Yeah.
And here's what I mean by that. We're not top of mind, believe it or not, to all of our clients all the time. We think we are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and a lot of times too.
But Rob, we're the fun meeting.
I was just going to say. We say to clients, hey, it's time for the most fun part of your day, the most fun meeting of the day. We get to look at creative and talk about creative.
Yeah.
Forgetting the fact that, oh no, they're stuck in like budget land and doing all of these 25,000 other things that they've got to do.
Yeah.
We're only one of those things. And I think it's easy to sort of lose sight of that sometimes.
Sure.
So remember to pick up the call or pick up the phone, right?
Yeah.
Remember to make the call and outreach. And then also too, we've run into this before. We have this sort of idea that our clients know exactly everything that we do for every single client that we have.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You sort of forget about that sometimes. And a lot of times you'll get the, oh, I didn't know you guys did that.
Yeah.
And for us, it's like, what do you mean you didn't know that we, like, it's on our website.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's also, that's all we do for this other client of ours.
Exactly.
You know, that type
exactly.
of thing. Right.
So I think it's just making sure that, you know, with not only the new clients, but with old clients alike, long-term clients alike, it's reminding them, hey, we're here. We can help.
Yeah.
Let us help you.
I am wondering, I always wonder what that fine line of persistence versus annoying is. You know, with this example that I just sent, right, was, hey, here's, fire off an email. Okay, you get an email back a few days later.
Yeah.
Fire off, you know, hey, you don't hear from somebody 1 week, you know, maybe it's, you know, maybe once a week. I think my tact on this one was maybe once a week, fire off an email, you know what I mean? Hey, just checking in, making sure, you know, that kind of, you know, because then you don't really know these people yet. You're kind of fishing, right?
Right.
So, but it ended up working out and everyone's busy.
Well, you know, and it's, I mean, that's, you know, that's not a cold call. That's like a lukewarm call.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's not the drip campaign.
Yeah. There is relevance there.
There's relevance there. There's experience. There's a reason for that email. And, and again, I think that's important too, is when you're crafting the email, like the drip campaigns, everybody's tired of this. Like everybody's tired of just the cold emails and you get 5 of them in a row.
Yeah.
And it's, I still haven't heard from you.
Bumping this to the top of your inbox.
Wanted to bump this up to the thing. Yeah.
And by the way, that email is like, I don't know, 80 lines long. It's like a dissertation.
Yep.
Like I can't read all this. Like what, this is way too much information.
You know? And I think in certain instances for certain businesses and, you know, industries that works.
Yeah.
But yes, a sort of more personalized approach, a reason for the email.
Yeah. Well, we did a messenger campaign on LinkedIn years ago.
Yep.
We had some great success with that pre-Microsoft purchase.
Yeah.
So there is, you know, that is, you know, a little bit cold, a little bit warm because you're in the network, that type of thing, right? But that's a, you know, I still believe in the power of LinkedIn when used properly.
When used properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do as well.
It has gotten a little bit more of a...
there's more junk.
Yeah. I was going to say more sort of social non-relevance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's a lot of birthdays and anniversaries and, you know, things like less sort of businessy stuff, I guess is kind of permeated in there, which I found interesting.
I would agree, but still a good tool, still a great place to mine, I think.
New business. It's an interesting thing. You know, you know, agency life, we always joke about the peak and valley, you know, you're so busy doing the work, you don't have time to go out and find the work, right? But I think it is important to try to smooth those peak and valleys out to some rolling hills, you know, and try to make sure you've got a meeting or two every week, a call or this or that. And I think, you know, our strategy potentially, I don't want to speak for us here, so jump in, but like there's no silver bullet for all the, it's a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
I mean, don't put all your eggs into any one specific basket. I mean, I would...
You gotta fish in a lot of different ponds.
Yeah. With a lot of different lures.
With a lot of different lures.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
But also, you know, fish to your strengths. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I mean, making sure that you know who you're going after and if that's an appropriate, you know, contact, right? Or if it's a company that can actually utilize the service that you provide, that
right.
type of thing.
So, right. Yeah. But it is a constant, you got to do it. It's yeah. a constant churn. You got to do it.
Well, we're only as good
but
as
it's also
our last
really
time.
Rewarding.
Yeah.
You know, and it's also cool because you on a day-to-day basis, you never know what's gonna happen.
It
you know?
Does make it a little interesting.
What new business is gonna come in, or opportunities, or keeps us on our toes.
Yeah, sure. My son always says, I don't know, but my every day my son says, hey, what do you have going on today? You know, and it's funny, I list out what I think I have going on. Like I know I have to do 1, 2, 3.
Right.
Right. This is when I'm taking him to school. And then at the end of the day, hey, how was work today, Dad? You know, what happened? And I'm like, oh, well, actually, you know, 4, 5, and 6 happened. And that wasn't even on the radar.
I haven't
radar.
Even gotten to 1, 2, and 3 yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, 1, 2, and 3 I did.
Yeah.
But you know, things pop up. I mean, it's crazy. So it's fun though. That keeps it interesting. So
new biz.
Point. Yeah, new biz.
New biz.
All right. I think that's enough for today. Where can the people find us, Mr. Rob?
If you're interested in new business, you can find us online at mocktheagency.com.
Yeah.
Of course, in all the socials at mocktheagency.
Yeah. Or if you want to be our new business director.
Or if you want to be our director of business development.
Yeah. Send your resume on in.
Send your resume in.
Funny. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Bye.